When I was in my mid-20s, my life changed in an instant. I found myself hearing for the second time that my cancer had returned. They weren't sure what my prognosis would be, and I had a choice. I could choose to be bitter, or I could choose to get better. At least that's what a button I found on the internet told me. And so I had to kind of lean on my faith in the community that had surrounded me, and I found that my life would never be the same. And so I can relate in some ways to our woman in this story today who suffered greatly for many years. And so I learned that I found a new perspective to life. My life had changed in an instant, as did our woman today. And I often wonder what it would have been like to have been seen by Jesus as this woman was, to be chosen out of a crowd and healed, or to be a witness, as some interpret this story, to healing or mercy, to have been the woman in the synagogue, only to have been able to see one way, most likely the ground, or maybe able to only turn or look upward, never to really have seen the sky in the way so many others could because of her ailment. She's only able to have limited access, limited mobility, and possibly a limited quality of life given her context. But Jesus notices her. Jesus sees her, lays hands on her, and liberates her. She stands up straight and can have a new perspective on life. Her perspective is forever changed in an instant, and she can do nothing else but praise God. I know many of us present know what it's like to have our lives changed in an instant. Maybe for good, maybe not. But maybe the outcome wasn't to be healed miraculously. Yet I can imagine that you can relate, as I could. And while sometimes the focus of the healing aspect of this text is often what people preach on, I'd like to focus on the words of being freed or released, because Jesus has liberated this woman and also welcomed her back into the community by laying hands on her and reminding the people who are present that she too was a daughter of Abraham. And this phrase was really important in this context because it signals to those present that this woman belongs and she is equal. This text calls us to look at ourselves and where in our own lives we need to heal and break free from those things that might be holding us back from participating in the liberating, life-giving love of God. Maybe there are places in our own lives where we need to heal and give ourselves some grace or extend grace to others. This text lets us know that no matter where our healing needs to take place, maybe we need to choose to be better or choose to be better. Buttons are amazing on the internet, by the way. Lots of life lessons there. It isn't ours to carry alone. God is with us. God is here to help us, and our reading from Isaiah speaks to the nature of God's walk with us as we care for the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. As we are called to act, God will be with us. I appreciate the active nature of this text. It's a reminder that we're not only to discern God's call in our lives, but also act upon that call. And I find Isaiah and the active nature of this text quite interesting because of the seeming contradiction in the idea of the Sabbath and a day of holy rest. Yet as I explored more, this idea wasn't so simple or binary as most things are in the gospel. This idea of the mystery of God is always more complex and intricate. And in preparing for this sermon, I had read multiple commentaries, which are books, short articles written by other scholars or preachers or clergy or folks who just study biblical texts. And one of them that I found most compelling gave two descriptions of the Sabbath. One of them was that God gave teachings to the Israelites after their exodus from Egypt, where Israelites were slaves, and God's command to rest, to set aside one day of the week, as even God did, to rest their bodies and their livestock, and retreat for a time of renewal and prayer. That sounds pretty good. And the second one I found, which happens to be my favorite, I don't want to bias you, but I'll just put that out there, was from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, and it was that 6 days a week, we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath, we try to become attuned to holiness in time. It is a day on which we are called upon to share in what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. With such a beautiful description, multiple descriptions, I wonder why we haven't worked harder to keep this practice. And now this last version may be a little more updated. Versions of ancient practices, a more updated version of ancient practices, it still captures the essence of the importance and holiness of this practice. Now, get me right here. I don't read this text as one of the like flipping table kinds of arguments that Jesus might have had with some of the people in the synagogues, but more of a simple conversation between colleagues. And as Jesus explains his position on the law and the synagogue leaders explain theirs, I hear these kinds of conversations within our own context and congregations and communities. It's a complex conversation about rules and about exceptions. The text is calling us into a conversation about our own practices, a text that asks us what we really value. Do we value people? Do we value their health? What do we value? And how are we being asked to walk alongside God? What is God calling us to? How are we being called into these difficult conversations together? We often get caught up in our day-to-day tasks. We're so focused on one thing after the next, moving from one thing to another. And as a community, we get so focused on doing things in certain ways, we develop a tunnel vision. We can't see up or down, only forward. We think we just don't have the energy to do one more thing. We're often right, right? We don't take Sabbath, right? We can only do one thing at a time. We're stuck looking down. We're unable to see the sky or turn our heads. And we have to ask for healing. We have to ask to be set free from the systems and pressures that bind us to the ways that may no longer serve us. We must ask for the strength to walk through the door of healing when it opens for us. We have to lean onto our faith and remember that God will show us the way. And God has gifted us with so many wonderful people willing to serve if we let them. Maybe we don't need to do it all ourselves. Maybe I don't need to do it all myself. And I wonder what else might be stirring in the hearts of this congregation near and far. For me, our texts today are a reminder of the liberating, life-giving love of God. They challenge us to explore what healing means for each of us and what the ideas of Sabbath really are. Finding ways to discern God's call in our lives will always be an important part of our community. Our texts for today share some important calls to action, rest, and healing. And now I want to come back to this part of the text that sometimes doesn't always get discussed. And that's what our modern society can maybe seem to have lost a little sight of, and that's the idea of Sabbath practice. Could and maybe should look like. Maybe some of you have modern practice or a current practice about Sabbath. Maybe you take time away, you maybe put away your phone, maybe you don't, I don't know, maybe you take a day away. But what collectively do we have the ability to rest and do? I wonder if maybe some of you might agree with me and think that that's somewhat non-existent
as a society. I personally can't think of a day when everyone is simply allowed to rest their bodies, minds, and spirits. Sabbath, in some ways, has become a luxury. To be able to have a day off of work or time to rest has become something of privilege in our context. Our time and how we spend it is often complicated by many factors, like how many jobs one has to work, if you're caring for other people, or have access to medical care, or so many other complex factors. As we begin to understand our communal loss of this practice, we also must see the need for liberation, justice, and equity. Everyone deserves the ability to rest their bodies and spirits, and everyone deserves to be liberated from the systems and injustices which keep them from living life to the fullest. What could it look like to provide a space of rest and healing for everyone in our community? I believe that St. Ben's is very much that place for many here, personally here, physically here, and also joining online, or who might watch this later. And when I first heard about this trailblazer position, I was so excited about what the opportunities it could bring to this community and the community connected to it. If I could have written the job description for my first call out of seminary, it would have looked very similar to this position. A mix of community organizing, pastoral care, administrative practice, a little sprinkle of social justice work. So walk alongside a community or communities, ask questions, help them put passions into action. And to be paired with such amazing communities is far beyond anything I could have expected. Being back in a higher education setting has been both challenging and fulfilling. And as I learn new systems and what the needs of students are, as well as the needs here, as they reopen and as we all reopen and gather back in person, it's been really interesting and challenging. As communities recenter themselves, I've noticed the collective grief and pain and exhaustion, the lack of Sabbath, as well as the uplifting messages of hope that have also emerged from the healing that has begun. And as we continue this work of what feels like repentance and reconciliation that has been collected, I hope we all hold ourselves gently, because this active work happening here and in the community amongst others is hard work. I see it happening in the outreach programs here and in your interest in calling this position to be a part of your community. To actively seek someone who will walk alongside you, ask questions, and even challenge a few things along the way. It's the work we do together. And I know many of you have been doing this work long before we even thought about bringing me here. And I hope that some of you will actually be interested in joining my discovery team. I had to throw in that pitch. I have the microphone, you know, it's got to happen. And I know that this discovery team is something that will be interested in seeing what opportunities lie beyond the church's walls. So I hope you will join me in that work. And the community connections that are possible and the ways of engaging different populations with this church community and this church community with those folks. I want us to dream together and explore why St. Ben's is the place you call your spiritual home and could be a spiritual home for so many others. And in the conversations I've had thus far, this community is unique. You are. I hope you know that. If you don't, let's talk and let's see why. Another plug. There really is something beautiful here. This is a place of healing for so many. There's so many gifts here, and the welcome here is something that is truly spirit-filled. And the way a community comes together and takes care of its members is part of the communal ministry of this congregation. And as I've said before, and will say as many times as you will let me and listen, I've been truly blessed to feel this welcome. And yet we often find it really challenging to extend this welcome to others outside of the church. And I often wonder why. And what stops us? And as we explore this and other questions together, I know we will find new perspectives as we feel and learn and grow together. And I pray that as we all move into this new context and this new week together, we find hope and comfort in the love of the liberating, life-giving God who heals and frees us all. Amen.